In your Bibles tonight, 2 Samuel chapter number 10. 2 Samuel chapter number 10. Tonight's message is titled this: Do Not Reject the Kindness of the King. Do not reject the kindness of the King. And we're going to come to this passage of Scripture, and we're going to see David's kingdom of kindness. In chapter number 9, he's extended great mercy and shown his love and invited a member of Saul's family, the house of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, to eat at his table and take part in his kingdom. And David is extending mercy and grace and a beautiful picture of how our Savior works, though we are separated because of our sin nature from the Lord Jesus Christ. God in love and mercy has sent his own Son that we can have access to God, forgiveness, and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm lame in my sins, but God loved me and welcomed me to his own table, and I'm thankful for his salvation that God has afforded to us through Christ Jesus. And David's kingdom of kindness continues into chapter number 10. We have a fascinating story, and I want you to follow along as we read it together, beginning in verse number 1 of 2 Samuel chapter number 10. Tonight's message: Do not reject the kindness of the King. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob, and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah, they were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together and had a Rezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants of Hadadrezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. And we conclude in verse 19 that there's a group of allies that are afraid to help the children of Ammon anymore. But the bottom line is the whole war that we just read about in the majority of this chapter of Scripture was absolutely unnecessary and ultimately avoidable, because it was the byproduct of the children of Ammon under the leadership of Hanun, who rejected the kindness of King David that caused all this mess. In case you went a little cross-eyed in all the details about the battle, let me tell you the story. It begins like this. David is thinking back about his time when he was waiting to be the king of Israel, and Saul was still reigning. And there was a season there that David made some allies with some folks that were outside of the nation of Israel. These were okay things for him to do at this time. And David's sitting and he's thinking, and he says, "You know what I want to do? I heard that my good friend Ammon, who's shown me kindness, has passed away, and I want to show kindness to his son and kindness to that nation and that group of people." And so David does a really kind thing. He sends an entourage of his best servants, his faithful people, to go to the house of Ammon, to Hanun, the son of Ammon, to show and extend the kindness and the generosity and the love of David from the nation of Israel. Hanun has some not so bright counselors. The counselors are skeptics. The counselors do not understand the promises of God. The counselors do not understand the nature of David. It does not understand the kindness of God's people. And they say to Hanun, who's now the king of the country of the people of Ammon, they say to Hanun, "Now listen, Hanun, what's going on? I'm telling you, we think that David is going to send all these people in here so he can spy out our land and kill us all." And Hanun responds to that foolish advice and does something even worse. This is a kind of a funny mental picture. But all the servants of David that David has sent into the land of Ammon to Hanun, Hanun has half of their beard shaved off. So you've got a group of Jewish men who glory in their long beards, their flowing robes and modesty. And the first thing that Hanun does to David's servants is he shaves off half of their beards. That's interesting, isn't it? The second thing is worse. He cuts off their long flowing Jewish Middle Eastern robes at the waist. And you can imagine, from here up, it was normal. From the waist down, there was nothing. And Hanun humiliated these men, the servants of David, the people of God. And the end result of rejecting the kindness of the king was David sent Joab and his armies and defeated Ammon and all of his allies. And it ends in a very tragic situation where poor counsel and poor wisdom and cruelty resulted in the judgment of God. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, we can't help but be reminded of the kindness that has been extended to all people through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has extended to us all His mercy and His grace and His love, the opportunity that we can have fellowship with God and peace with God, eternal life. But folks, I want to remind you, do not reject the kindness of the King. We'll go into a few details for this message tonight. Look at number one, David's kindness. David's kindness. Verse number 1 of chapter 10, the Bible says, "It came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead." Verse number 2, "Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came in the land of the children of Ammon." Now, I love during this season of David's reign as the king, I love the spirit of David. Now, David, all through his ministry and through his time as king and time as a child, we see David yearning to please the Lord. He doesn't always do this. As a matter of fact, in the next chapter, we'll have the account of David's encounter with Bathsheba. David is imperfect, but David, over and over again, is determined to extend the graciousness of God. He is determined to be merciful. He's determined to do things the right way, and I'm thankful for that. And this is no different. David, just like he said, I want to show kindness to Mephibosheth. He says, I want to show kindness to this man that's shown kindness to me in the past. David's kindness, David's burden was that he might comfort a man who's just lost his father, a nation who's just lost their king. David sends for comfort. When we look at David in this picture, and many times in these Old Testament accounts, David often represents and can represent for us who Jesus is for all of us. I'm careful with the types of Christ. I don't want to overdo it. You can overextend some of these things. But it is a fact that the Old Testament is constantly pointing to us to the fact that we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ and has sent extended kindness and mercy to all of us. It's a sweet thing to know that God has extended his kindness to us. David extended kindness to Hanun, and the Lord God has extended kindness to all the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, you know it well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God has extended his kindness through Jesus Christ. Like David extended his kindness to Hanun on this day, and the people of Ammon, God has extended his kindness. Folks, it is a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's extended his kindness. I want to remind you of something. Do not reject the kindness of King Jesus. Number one, David's kindness. Number two, Hanun's counselors. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. "And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it?" Now, here's something that we need to pay close attention to. Hanun has some counselors. These are the princes of the land. And Hanun's counselors really give him some very, very bad advice. Now, as I've thought about this, and I've thought about these people, the first thing that comes to my mind is this judgmental spirit that boils up in the hearts of Hanun's counselors. They have this preconceived notion that God's people are bad, that God's ways are bad, that God's word is bad, that the person of God is wrong. And I don't know about you, but you don't have to go very far, and I haven't had to go very far in my Christian life and living in Chilhowee, Virginia, to see that there are lots of people who are in opposition to God and extremely skeptical of the goodness and the mercy and the love of God. Now, here's something that you need to pay close attention to. You need to be careful who you get your counsel and advice from. Look, we should not make it our practice to get the greatest part of our counsel from people who are skeptical of our Creator. We should not be looking to get all of our education, all of our morals, and all of our direction from people who reject the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a reason to be grateful for a church and a group, a body of believers. I'll just tell you something. We won't get it right all the time, and I won't either, and I know that. But we must be careful. We cannot be looking for our counsel from people who hate the God who created us, from people who despise the Jesus who saved us. We cannot be looking for counsel from places that reject our Bible and our Savior and our Lord and our God. Hanun made a terrible mistake. He heard and heeded the counsel of a group of men who misjudged the nature of King David in such a wrong way that Hanun's about to do one of the most ridiculous things any person has ever done. There's something I want you to be reminded of. Why in the world did David send his servants in to Hanun and the people of Ammon? Because he wanted to extend his kindness. Why did God send his son Jesus Christ to be the Word and the light? Why? To extend his mercy, grace, kindness, and love to a world that was lost and destined and doomed to hell forever. And if you hear the chatter that the Jesus people, all they want to do is put you in bondage. Or the Bible's an archaic book that wants to put you into the locks of religion. Don't fall for that foolish counsel. You see, it is the Word of God and the truth of God that sets us free. It's the person of Jesus Christ that gives us grace and mercy and forgiveness and everlasting life and peace with God. Hey, listen, do not reject the kindness of the king. Be careful who your counselors are. Hanun's counselors were fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What God intended to bless them with, Hanun's counselor said, he's just coming to hurt you. He's just coming to destroy you. And I remind you, Jesus has not come to destroy you. The Bible says the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy. And that's the devil's plan. And every person that ever says that Jesus Christ and the Word of God is here and is a design, as a religious tool to put people in bondage and hurt you, I'll just tell you something. That's the fool speaking. That's the thief. And the old devil wants to steal you of all the treasures that Jesus has intended for your life. The Bible says the fool has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus spoke up right there at that spot and he says, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who are your counselors? If you've got somebody whispering in your ear, don't trust God, don't believe God's word, don't put all your stock in the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ, I want to remind you of something. Do not reject the kindness of the king. Hanun's counselors. Number one, David's kindness. Number two, Hanun's counselors. Number three, Hanun's cruelty. Let me tell you what happens. When you reject God and God's ways, the devil begins to have place in your heart and you do things that are cruel, unkind, unwise, and rotten. What Hanun does to the servants of David is awful. Now, it's kind of humorous to me. When I first read this and was reminded again of this story, when I see those poor guys with their skirts cut off at the waist and their beards shaved off in half, I kind of chuckle in my heart. And I saw some of you did too. But what they did was so humiliating. Can you imagine being these men who've been carried to do a good deed, men who've been carried to do something that was right and righteous and holy and gracious and kind, and these guys hold you down and shave off half of your beard that is very important to you. A man without a beard in those days, it was a bad thing. It was a bad thing. It was not good. It was shameful. And these guys, they were ashamed because their beards were cut off. And even worse, it was a shame to be revealed and immodest. And Hanun saw to it that these men were humiliated. How many of you ever had that dream? How many of you had that dream that somehow you're back in high school or elementary school? But somehow you've managed to make it out of the house, on the bus, into the school, into your classroom, but you forgot to put on your clothes. How many of you ever had that dream? Yeah, me too. It's horrible, isn't it? It's humiliating and embarrassing. And at this moment in these men's life, Hanun had done something very cruel. Laying all the jokes aside, you know what Hanun did? Hanun was downright mean. He was not nice. He was unkind. He was wicked and cruel. And I'll have you know something. The people who reject the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the next step is going to be cruelty. The next step when you reject the Savior is going to be unkindness. The next step when you reject the Savior is going to be rebellion. And I want you to think for just a moment what Hanun has done. Hanun has let some guys tell him that the love of God is not real. And the response that Hanun has had, all right, I tell you what, I'm going to do something horrible to them Jesus people. Let me tell you something. When you reject the love of Jesus, you'll be disobedient to your parents. When you reject the love of Jesus, you'll be unfaithful to your spouse. When you reject the love of Jesus, you'll be unkind to the people that you work with. When you reject the love of Jesus, the mean streak that is in you, that is wickedness, that is boiling up in your heart, when you reject the love of Jesus, the byproduct is you're going to be rotten and cruel. And Hanun in this story, he listens to the counselors. They want, the Jesus people want to hurt us. Hanun's response is cruelty and humiliation. Look, don't reject the kindness of the king. What's the result? The conclusion of rejecting the kindness of the king is twofold. One, the king's servants are comforted. If you've ever been in a situation where you've been sent to do the work of the Lord and you've been dealt with cruelly by people who've rejected Jesus, folks, I want you to know something. Don't be mad at them. You forgive them. You love them. You pray for them, because I want you to see what the king does when his servants are mistreated. I think this is just a fascinating little point here in verse number 5. The Bible says, when they told it unto David, when they told David that half of their beards have been shaved off, and their clothes have been cut off at the waist. When they told unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. What happens to the servants of David? They find mercy. They find extra attention from the king himself. They find an opportunity to be restored and get the help and the time that they need. And David says, y'all hang out here. We'll get you some new clothes. You stay in Jericho until your beards grow out so you don't have to be faced with shame. But then what happens to the people of Ammon? What happens to Hanun's country? I'll tell you what Hanun does. Hanun understands that he has caused himself to stink before David. Look at verse number 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. What happens? When you reject God, you do foolish and cruel things, and then guess what happens? If you refuse to repent, if you refuse to turn and accept the kindness of the king, the end result is punishment. The end result is great loss. The end result is you bring other people with you. It's a sad thing to think of all the people who have determined that they do not love God. They do not want the kindness of King Jesus. They've rejected the Savior. They've gone like the counselors of this man. And they've determined that the goodness of God is determined for evil against them. And like Hanan, they've become cruel. Not only are they cruel, but they begin to recruit. And we see that the people of Ammon recruit thousands and thousands of other people to their cause, that God is not good, God is not love, God is not kind. And they determine to fight with God. Let me tell you something. Every time you fight with God, you lose. It may not seem like it right this moment, but every time you fight with God, you lose. The end result of rejecting the kindness of the king is destruction for you and lots of folks around you who you've influenced. Is that mean of God? No. It's not mean of God at all. God has extended his kindness to all men. But if you reject the kindness of King Jesus, the end for you will be destruction. Don't do it. Let's talk about it just a moment. You're here tonight and you're trying to decide, am I going to do what's right by God and his word? Or am I going to do what I want to do? And let me tell you something. You choose what you want to do and you reject the kindness of King Jesus, you are going down a path of destruction that's going to hurt you and lots of people around you. And I challenge you and I beg of you, stop it. Do not reject the kindness of the king. You're here tonight and you've never been saved. Let me tell you something. God is real. The word of God is real. The only way to heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not reject the kindness of the king. Put your trust in Christ. I'll tell you now, every person that's ever said yes to Jesus is thankful. Folks who've said no to God, it doesn't make me happy to say it. It actually breaks my heart. Folks who've said no to God have suffered the consequences, and they're great. Oh, Hanan, I know right now, he's an eternal being created in the image of God. I know right now he wishes, would to God I had not rejected the kindness of the king. Don't do it. Just say yes to Jesus. Say yes to what's right. Be determined to let the Lord help you through the burdens of your life. And you know what? You'll be glad you did. Do not reject the kindness of the king. Let's pray.